Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Once you get on, I'm coming. I'm promising. Get it on, man. What's going on, my man?
Get on, man. We were going to continue this conversation about Adam Schiff. I got a bunch of stuff. Oh, I was on the Ben Shapiro Sunday special. It was interesting. Freewheeling, went all over the place. It's fun.
Well, you want me to tell you my analogy? You want to tell me your thoughts?
Yeah, let's do it. We're going to talk about, several things. We're going to talk about Adam Schiff, and we're going to hear the kind of position he held. And you are going to tell us your analogies for how you would like political discourse to actually go down.
Well, I was walking down a side street on Memorial Day with my dog, and every time someone would pass, I just waved to them. The people using the side street I was on as a tributary for like the main, they'd go down the main drag and then turn and come back around and use the side street to get back to the front.
I see.
And then go back down the main drag again.
Picture that. A parade or something?
Parade.
And the parade was using it to do this. Okay, got it.
That's right.
Okay.
And I was walking the dogs. I kept seeing fire engines and, you know, Duesenbergs with the, you know, beauty queens.
The parade wasn't long enough. They had to keep running it up and back and down the street.
It's unclear what was going on, but it seemed like maybe people were making multiple passes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was waving at everybody who just went by just because.
So you got the parade anyway.
I got my own personal parade.
Right.
And a certain point, I saw like a 66 Corvette convertible, and there's a guy sitting on the boot in the back, and they're driving down the street. And I was like, I was starting to wave, and I was like, wait a minute, that's Adam Schiff. And then I thought, oh, I hate that guy. Because every time I turn on the news, he's just mixing it up with Trump and Russia and collusion and all that kind of stuff.
That's funny.
And then I realized what you said last year. I was like, hey, I was trying to get a little political capital of it. But I mean, I feel the same way I feel about with black leaders. I'm just trying to stir the pot a little so they can keep their job. Like, you're making people are getting shot. You're making people uncomfortable. You're tearing the nation apart sort of thing. Now, my thing is this. Go investigate Trump and go find out there's collusion. But go to Washington, do your goddamn job. But you don't have to show up on CNN every 20 minutes and explain what's going on.
Yeah.
We have a commission. I don't know about you, but let them go do their work. And then when they're done doing the work, they'll render a decision. And then you can go bloviate on Tucker Carlson or Rachel Maddow show or all of the above. But every 20 minutes, I don't need a booster shot from you when you don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Evidently.
Right.
So it's been a year of this guy going and, you know, sitting next to Anderson Cooper and explaining to him what is going on, except for he doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
And I don't think you know what's going on. It's good ratings, and maybe it'll get you a few more votes. But sort of screaming at everyone the sky is falling every 20 minutes is really probably not what you're looking for out of a politician.
It's not what I'm looking for. Okay.
I don't know. Gary, do you have a good one of him?
Yeah, this one's from CBS Evening News, and it's just a touch over a year ago.
All right. Well, let's hear what the great Adam Schiff has to say about collusion.
Well, I think what we saw in the hearing today was Director Comey acknowledged that there was sufficient evidence and credible information that warranted his opening up a counterintelligence investigation. That is there coordination with a foreign power? Has someone become an agent of a foreign power? So there was sufficient evidence, certainly, for the director to open that investigation. That's certainly consistent also with what I've seen. And the way I've described it is there is circumstantial evidence, certainly, of collusion or coordination. There has been direct evidence of deception. And I think people, I hope, got the sense today during this long hearing about just why it's so important that both Congress and the FBI do a thorough investigation.
This is him at the beginning
of this
whole thing.
But to be crystal clear, this evening, as we speak, there is no hard evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. You said there's circumstantial evidence.
You know, I would not say, I would not phrase it the way that you did. And circumstantial evidence can be very powerful and is hard evidence. But you can certainly prove many cases on the basis of circumstantial evidence, so people shouldn't underestimate the power of that.
During your committee hearing, someone using President Trump's official Twitter handle took issue with what was being said by the FBI director.
The director himself was asked,
and he rebutted that. That was pretty unusual. In fact, maybe unprecedented for a congressional hearing.
It was. You don't usually have a real-time fact check of a presidential statement by the director of the FBI and the director of the NSA, but we did get that today. And I think the comment the president had misrepresented was the suggestion that the FBI and NSA had said there was no effect by the Russians on the electoral process. That simply wasn't true.
Why do you think that Donald, that
was a year ago, and I was still looking for stuff. By the way, it doesn't seem to be coming to fruition. It's kind of going the other way. Sort of like, what were you guys up to now that we're in the up-to department? That's what it's starting to look like, Drew. I don't know. Sort of looks like everybody was up to something. It's a kind of thing that I don't know. It's sort of like, I don't know, feels like the Gambino family was going after the Mazzelli family by calling the cops. It's like, and then the cops are going to show them and go, what's wrong with the Gambino? No, the Mazzellis, you go after them. It's like,
Wait, what are you
up to, by the way? As long as we're talking about who's up to what.
Yeah.
And then the answer is, we're all up to something, and that's kind of what we're finding out. All right, read your spot, and then let me tell you my thought is.
Okay, my spot is a palate cleanser, because my favorite's the Birdwell Beach Britches. You hear me extolling these products because I like them. I've worn them my whole life. Handcrafted here in California since 1961. Legendary quality. People come into the Birdwell stores in the same pair of birdies they've been wearing for decades. I wore them last weekend in Las Vegas, that two-ply nylon inspired by the sailboats of Newport Beach. Dries so damn fast, and it's just so comfortable. They're just perfect. 10% off your first Birdwell Beach Britches purchase with that lifetime guarantee and free shipping over $99. All you got to do is go to birdwell.com. Use that discount code ADS at checkout. These are bathing suits that were really made for water sports. They just are so comfortable. They fit just perfectly for that. Nothing catches or accumulates in the sand or whatever. It's just all they think of everything. You will not be unsatisfied, I promise. Go to birdwell.com, discount code ADS at checkout. Again, that discount code is ADS at birdwell.com.
Okay, so analogy. By the way, speaking of things – Gary, you can look up my favorite tweets, but somebody was tweeting me that I think kids, like rich kids who grew up around too much Purell, are higher likelihood for like leukemia or something.
Ooh, that's interesting.
There's a cancer thing going on out there. Gary, you can look up the favorite tweet. Anyway, my new rule is like when people come in and bloviate about things that may or may not have happened, as I see both sides doing constantly and all the time, is – no more of this, because here's what's going on. So somebody comes in and goes, we have a problem. And they go, okay, what's the problem? Well, I'm a structural engineer, and I've been examining these bridges, and they're old, and they're unsafe. And then the person says, explain to me in detail what you'd like to do to fix them. And then the person says, my children ride along those bridges, and other people have children to ride along those bridges. And then you go, that's fine. Now tell me what you'll do to structurally make this bridge sound.
Right.
You're not for safe passage on bridges? And it's like, I am. Now you have to tell me specifically your plan to upgrade and renovate this bridge and retrofit this bridge. I lost a grandfather on a bridge, and it's like all they do is talk about –
But well, Adam, the one I the, this I know. Is pertinent to everything.
The weirdest one to me is when people do this one, which is you don't think people should have safe bridges, and it's like, no, I'm saying I don't want to give you $2 billion to retrofit the bridge. You got to tell me what you're going to do to the bridge. I have children who live in this community. It's like we don't get into any part of the plan of what we're going to do.
Objective thought, objective thinking is just. is a lost art or something. It's like scientific thinking, right? It's like, what's the evidence? What's the hypothesis? What's the evidence? What's the analysis? Does it prove? Is it provable? That's it. We don't do that. It's weird. That's like has no value.
I have conversations with people during the day where I say, when is this thing you're working on in the edit bay going to be ready to air? And the person will look at me and go, when we're done editing. Oh. And I go, I'm not asking how the process works. I'm asking for a date.
But understand, like, all of this is what you've been talking about in terms of feelings, right? It all goes back to sort of an affective narrative rather than to an objective narrative of fact, right?
It's everyone's fault because when you're talking to me about retrofitting the bridges and then I go, $10 billion sounds like a lot, and then you go, how can you put a price on a child's life? Evidently, you don't care about children's safety, but I do. I don't want the person being argued with who now does. Oh, I have children of my own. Of course I care deeply. They should go, oh, shut the fuck up. Go, what are you talking about? What's your accusation?
Yeah, my thing is, okay, so we're not going to have a conversation. We're going to have you just throwing a bunch of feelings my way.
I guess not. We have this favorite tweet, which was sent to me. You have the article, Gary? It's an interesting thing.
No.
Most common.
Oh, no, there it is.
Why don't you give it a read, Drew?
Most common childhood cancer is likely caused by lack of exposure to infections, major study finds. Good thing my kids have lots of infections.
Who knew these things were coming our way? Huh. You can read on a little, Gary, but I'd be very interested in what they have to say.
I read it through if you want to.
What's
Cliff
the
Notes version?
Yeah,
it's basically that they're doing research now because the amount of a specific kind of childhood leukemia is going up at alarming rates.
Jeez.
So they are now doing controlled studies.
Amongst like rich whitey, though, right?
It's kids that are – it doesn't specifically refer to them that way, but it suggests
sounds
that
like it.
It's certainly not kids that are growing up in an apartment with three brothers and sisters. It's
Yeah, it's affluent kids. Yeah.
And is it excessive antibiotics, I wonder?
They're saying that it's kids that are being too sheltered and aren't being exposed to things in the first year of their life. So kids that aren't interacting with other children, kids that are being basically too coddled. They're just saying that these kids' immune systems aren't being primed.
Shocking. Who, Drew? Who could have ever seen this when there's being doused in Purell and
but
dipped
they've
in fruit
worse.
Wash?
They've gotten worse, though, with the weekend. My child can only eat kale, juiced kale, and it's getting weird now.
Yeah. I grew up, I tell you, I said, I love my neighborhood because my neighborhood's got just regular folk walking around.
Yeah.
And I was walking Phil the other night. God, was it today? I think I was walking him today. And Phil came across like a three-year-old kid, maybe two, and the mom was out there with like the two-year-old and the kid and the other like seven-year-old, and Phil just came waddling up, the big tail wagging and everything. And Phil like walked up to the kid, and they're like kind of saying, like, you want to say hi to the big dog? You know, let him sniff your hand, let him, you know, Phil. And he walked up. Phil just walked up to the kid and just gave him a big lick, like just his tongue, like just blocked out the sun for this kid. Like, wow.
So whole body
he just gave him a big plop in his face. And then the mom just went like, hey, there you go, gave you a kiss. And like turned around and started walking back. And there wasn't like getting out her sleeve and wiping him down or getting the bacterial wipes out or the gauze or anything. And I thought, if I bet we're on the west side of it, mama would have been diving for the Clorox, you know, for the infused Clorox wipes, you know, wipe down that counter, wipe down that toilet seat, wipe everything down, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You need it. All right. Who knew that, Drew?
You did. You've always said it.
Hero.
Hero.
LifeLock, that's something you guys
That's
need.
Your next book, Adam Carolla, Hero.
Adam Carolla, Hero. I took a lot of guts to call myself a hero, but I didn't. Some say I'm a hero for labeling myself a hero.
Yeah, right.
There's a new FBI report citing internet crime complaints with losses of over $1.4 billion. The top two crimes reported were non-payment, non-delivery, and personal data breaches. Nearly 2,000 complaints were about ransomware. So many threats in today's digital world. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now includes the power of Norton Security for added protection. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help protect against identity theft, like your info for sale on the dark web. Norton helps protect against online threats like ransomware. It's 2018. Let's protect ourselves, people. If you had a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't have one, right, Drew?
No one can stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft, but new LifeLock with Norton Security can uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Join now, and for the first year, get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month. That's right. That's nothing. Plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com. Enter promo code Adam. That is promo code Adam.
All right. Let's see.
Chapman.
Chapman. Line five. What's going on, Chapman?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate the heroism.
Yeah, it takes a hero to recognize a hero. And we're heroes. What's going on?
Well, I work at a nonprofit, and a common thing that comes in is we'll have people with very clear, severe mental disabilities come in and tell me how they need help with this crazy legal case, and it usually involves the government beaming something into their heads or taking beams out of their heads.
Yeah.
And, you know, I find myself at a loss more times than not of, like, what to say to these guys because they very clearly need, you know, mental health services. I just have never found a good way to link them up with that. And
right.
I was wondering,
that's schizophrenia. And maybe if there's a family member or somebody you could contact, anything of that sort.
I mean, these people just walk into my office.
But they don't give you any information about themselves.
No, they'd kind of get right in on the story.
Maybe you should do a little, just have a fill out a personal information sheet before you let people in.
Okay.
Every other business on the earth does that, any kind of service-oriented business. Just so you can, you can have something to sort of help them with. And you can give the follow-up family or whatever and just go, hey, he's here, he's psychotic. And we're not going to be able to do anything. We just want to make sure he's okay and you're aware that he's psychotic. And maybe give them a couple of referrals to social services or to Department of Mental Health. And there is going to be a growing body of teams to help the homeless out there that are chronically mentally ill. I don't know if this will be a homeless person or not.
Yeah, they're the HOPE teams, right?
Yeah, that's right. And they're really going to be – I'm for the first time, optimistic that this thing is going to start to get dealt with, in spite of the fact that the rhetoric out of the mayor's office is still about housing. It's finally the services are going to be provided. And, they need help. And anything of beaming of thoughts or television talking to them or – here's the real craziness. I had a small claims court, Santa Monica Small Claims, take a case. A guy walked in and said, Dr. Drew is beaming thoughts into my head, and he implanted a device in my tooth that makes me have erections. I need to sue him. And they took it. They took the case.
Well, but Drew, that guy's a taxpayer, and you're just kind of living
on
the dull here.
He ended up being a stalker who was threatening to kill us and the kids and everything. Thank you, Santa Monica Municipal Court. Thank you for that. You couldn't have just grabbed the guy and go, hey, let's help you.
They're hobo-friendly, man, over there. They
no
love
kidding.
Their hobos.
That's probably what Santa Monica. Anyway, he got treatment. He's better now and stuff. And so, but, that stuff happens a lot.
What did you do, get served with papers?
I got papers in my office, and I threw them away, and then I got them again, and they said, if you don't show up, it'll be $2,500 to him immediately as default. And then I remembered I'd seen a website on MySpace with – I thought it was maybe this guy's name. It was like years later, and I went back, and I found it. It was the same dude, and he'd now created a whole virtual world of fantasies of torture for me and my kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we called the police. It was my wife's highest moment. She got a detective in there. She goes, look, here's what's happening. She puts it all on the computer, and he goes, you understand? He's talking about killing my children. You need to get him. You understand me? You need to get him because if you don't, I will. I'm not afraid to die.
What kind of detective?
I'm not afraid to die because I will get him.
What kind of detective?
A Pasadena City. You have to do it from the city from where you were.
No, but you're talking about a
police
officer.
Detective. Yeah.
Okay. When you say detective, I don't know.
Okay, police detective.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not afraid to die. You need to get him or I will.
Wow.
Oh, good for you.
I like that.
I'm not afraid to die. He's talking about my kids. My husband, he can have him. But the kids, I'm not afraid to die.
All right. Let me... Yeah. What? Sad. It's just sad that everything is sort of basically. It's everything is just sort of. Basically, our society punishes those who play by the rules, in a sense, in that if you rent an apartment to somebody and that person decides to never pay you again and live there rent-free, the law's on their side.
Yeah.
And that's a weird way to do it because you are the owner of the complex. You are theoretically the one that is paying the much bigger nut when it comes to your sort of footprint. And you're the one keeping the lights on in the city, meaning you got one person, he's living in a unit, and he's not paying rent. So I'm guessing he's not paying into the coffers for the city very much in terms of tax revenue and what have you. You're the guy out there working three jobs, hustling, and now you've got a rental property, and you are actually the one that is keeping the lights on, so to speak. And they agree with the guy who's squatting your unit more than they agree with you. And that's not a great business model. I think L.A., California is going pretty hard that direction. And I assume people that want to own commercial or rental property eventually just pick it up and move because they go, I don't want to hassle with this, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why. Now, look. I get it. There are more renters than there are owners, so you might as well see if you can get their votes. But it's not a great long-term strategy, yes?
It just doesn't seem like economy 101, economics 101.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes,
it's not how it works. But well, here's no, what does
how,
work.
It's how it works.
Here's what does work, which is TheraWorks. TheraWorks Relief. Worked with these guys. I've done some work commercials for them. If you're one of the millions of sufferers of muscle cramps in your legs and feet, particularly at night, relief is in sight. TheraWorks Relief, it's a topical foam, clinically proven to relieve muscle cramps fast. And with daily use, put it on a couple times a day. It's a foam that absorbs quickly. It can prevent muscle cramps even before they start. They use it in collegiate athletes for muscle recovery. It's been used originally as actually an antiseptic for the skin. And they started noticing that people where cramps were going away and they were getting muscle recovery at a quicker rate, and they did the scientific studies, and lo and behold, it does work. TheraWorks Relief is available today at select CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens pharmacies, or at TheraWorks Relief, TheraWorx, TheraWorks with an X, relief.com. Talk to your pharmacy about TheraWorks Relief. They are as happy as I am because you don't have to give people medication anymore for muscle cramps. Just put on this lotion, and it really does work. Experience relief for muscle cramps for yourself.
All right, we got some hot pizza talk coming up. Mm-hmm. First argument from ACS last week. Drew,
yeah.
You and nachos.
Yeah.
What do you like on your nachos, if anything?
First of all, the cheese has to be like a decent quality, right? It can't be the liquid
ladle
cheese.
Bomb.
Yeah,
no. No, can I?
Guacamole, mm-hmm. Right? I don't mind a little chicken once in a while.
Ball Brian labeled me criminally insane because I don't like chicken on my nachos.
No, but I could understand that. I don't, but I sometimes like a little chili or something, some sort of something.
You guys chunky. With me, nacho man. I don't look at nachos as like the last meal I'm ever going to eat in death row. I look at it as kind of a table thing.
It's the difference between you and me, old man.
if it's not a meal.
I don't look at it as like, oh man, I got to get my nacho shovel out. We're going to town. Like I look at it as, would we like to order nachos before the meal kind of thing?
If it's before the meal, then it's just
the part where it's
got
to have chicken and beans and everything on it is like, that's fine. But I'm not ordering. I'm ordering nachos to pick at and dip in the stuff.
Guacamole and cheese.
And Brian kept going, that's just cheese and chips. I'm like, well, that's the genesis. That's how nachos work.
Yeah.
I think that tastes good to me. I don't like them getting too loaded down. But I don't want the meat on the nachos. Feeling like we're turning it into something else.
Well, I would think of it that's the meal then, what I was talking about.
But would you ever order nachos as a meal?
Like a replacement meal, like you're just going out and drinking beers with somebody.
I understand when you're on a diet and you have a nacho shake.
No.
And then a sensible lunch and then another nacho shake.
I mean, when you're not gonna, you know you're not going to go out to dinner and you're out there watching a ball game or something.
True, you never watch a ball game.
Rarely.
You're pretending you're a guy.
Rarely.
How dare you. Nick, 30, Pittsburgh.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
So you're a juror member, and they jury member, and they provided you with four different pizzas.
Yeah, so so this past week, I get called for jury duty, mm-hmm. and we're there for 5 days, and this is a case where the child, what they call a delayed disclosure case, where the child accuses the father, like 10 years after the fact, of raping her.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah,
it's like disgusting. Ugh. Disgusting stuff. I mean, you said oral, anal, all this disgusting stuff. And by the way, thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to you guys for years. I've been waiting for an opportunity to call you guys. So
finally, this great case.
I'm outraged over this, over the behavior of this individual. But if you tell me they gave you a veggie lover's pizza as one of those pizzas, I'm going to be indignant.
Yeah, that's way worse.
That's why I'm going to the next
finally,
level.
Yeah, so finally, day five, we listen to the closing arguments, all disgusting stuff we hear this entire time. We finally go into deliberations. They get us lunch. They get us pizza. And I believe it's four or five pizzas. One, we got banana peppers, we got onions, we got sausage. And these are classic, like, New York-style pizzas. We got another, it's a New York-style plain. We got another that's a New York-style that is mushrooms and... I think banana peppers. And then the last one was a Sicilian, a thicker crust that's rectangular, half pepperoni, half plain. So, I mean, this is the important question. I've been listening to you guys since the beginning.
By the way, this bailiff or whoever went on the pizza run, I am
tip staff.
I'm down. I do not mind this person at all.
Right.
I did a pizza, it was like meat lover, veggie lover. Yeah. It was like nobody likes meat on their pizza once it's dripping. They can't even taste the pizza anymore, and nobody wants veggies.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, okay, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, tip staff ordered the pizza. And by the way, we were there for 7 to 8 hours deliberating. She offered us dinner as well. Mm-hmm. We actually said, we wanted to get the heck out of there. Mm-hmm. If we cooked dinner, we'd have to stay a couple more hours, you know. Mm-hmm. So the question to you guys is, which pizza goes first? Which pizza goes last?
Okay. Now, in my world, the New York style's the best. Thick crust is good. Mm-hmm. New York style's the best.
Mm-hmm. Thick crust mm-hmm. is good?
Medium crust is bad. Matt, how many times do I have to explain myself? There's nothing wrong with thick crust pizza. It's not really pizza. It's kind of like an Italian casserole with cheese
bread.
And whatever and bread.
Yeah,
but it's good if you want to go to Geno's East or something.
Okay.
Medium is wrong. It's chewy. The ratio's bad.
Okay.
It's too much dough.
Right.
So you either go into the village and get a slice or you go to Geno's and you get some thick crust. You sign up for it. Then don't get the in-between.
So what do you eat first? You got to eat the meats first, right?
No, we know. He wants to know what order did this stuff go in.
Oh.
Yeah, we were there all day. I can tell you
what
went first.
You're keeping track. You're a hero, Nick. I can tell you the pepperoni overrated. Sometimes they overdo it with the pepperoni.
But it's only on the thick one.
It's only on the thick one. Yeah. And also, a pizza selection is plain. I wish people would get that. Just get regular cheese pizza. Put a little garlic salt on there. Delightful. Don't think you have to get something off all of them. I like the sausage with the onion, but I'm not sure about the banana pepper, and I'm not sure why we want banana pepper times two. Whoever's making that run, that's a bold choice. Like, I'm going to put a lot of banana peppers on these pizzas. That seems a little weird. I will say, because it was a jury and people are stupid, I'm going to go that the thick crust pepperoni, which is what dumb people would eat first, went first. That's my first. Now, I would hope that it was the meat.
Or the cheese. Just the plain, right?
Just the plain.
So, number one, I go and I get a slice. I get my favorite. I go banana pepper sausage onion. I think those flavors complement each other pretty well.
That's the best one. That's the best offering they had.
Yeah, and I go back for a second piece, that's gone. That's the one that went first. I didn't even have a chance for a second slice.
That's a smart jury.
Yeah, so. It was a mistrial, by the way. They we couldn't find a unanimous decision on the oral anal or
Jesus.
Or, you know. Yeah, all these things. So that goes first. I don't know how smart this jury is. And what goes last is the Sicilian. That's what you were saying. That crust is in the middle. The plain Sicilians, and come on.
It's not good pizza. It's not pizza. Yeah. It's not pizza. It just drives me nuts. Yes. It's not pizza. Yes. Just get the pizza. Is pizza broken? Get regular pizza. Right. The best slice you can do is John's or Ray's or whatever down in the village.
Yeah.
You go down there and you get a slice of pizza. That's the best.
That's it. You're done.
You're done. All right. Where were we? I'm going to tell you about TrueCar, and then we're going to talk to... Interesting question up there. TrueCar, man. Car tips. Get thin crust pizza. Use your car to go buy thin crust pizza. There's a car tip for you, right? Here's another tip you might not know. TrueCar also helps people get used cars with a certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. So whether you're going new or whether you're going used, you see what other people paid for the exact same car, apples to apples. You do it our own Kalen, Max Pena, and Kalen.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You do that, enjoy a faster car buying experience. Connect with a TrueCar certified dealer who's also competing for your business. Again, ready to buy new or used, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right, let's see. One more call here. Talk to Dan. Dan.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Thank you very much for your call. By the way, best pizza place, L&B Spumoni Gardens in Brooklyn.
I shall write that down.
Hands down, best pizza in the world.
Nice and Dan, I hope. Go ahead, Dan.
You got to get the Sicilian, by the way. All right. So my question that I wanted to float by you guys is this one. I don't know if you've talked about it yet. By the way, long-time listener, first-time caller, thank you so much for taking the call.
Thanks.
So I heard recently that, Mueller, I don't know how to say his name, the special counsel.
Can I say that it's spelled Mueller,
yes,
but everyone says Mueller?
I've said the same thing, yes.
Okay, so if it's spelled Mueller, I'm going Mueller. Yeah. Tough crap.
All right.
What's going on?
Okay, so whatever his name is, he indicted the 13 Russian trolls, right? And so I heard recently that there was a lawyer for these 13 trolls who is now fighting for discovery in that case. And because of that, Mueller, whatever his name is, his team has now asked the judge for a delay in the case. And I've heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, that the judge is leaning, has either denied them that or is leaning no. Now, my question for you guys is this. I don't know if you brought the topic up, and if you have, I apologize. If you haven't, I'd like to hear what you have to say about this. I've heard that if he cannot produce discovery, that he will have to let the indictment go. In other words, there's no more indictment. And if that happens, what do you guys think would happen to the overall case and in the media in general? And I'll take your response off air. Again, thank you so much, you guys. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Thanks. Look, the media, here's in terms of
the cognitive dissonance that's going around in the public discourse is really astonishing.
Well, look, the media at this point, Here's what the media looks at themselves. They look at themselves as the French resistance in World War II. You know, they are duty bound. Look, you know, no one's going to go, well, look, it's very interesting. First off, who are you fighting? The Nazis. Well, don't tell a lie. You said the Nazis killed 1,000 innocent people. They only killed 3 innocent people. You don't want to lie. They're Nazis. We say what we want.
Right.
We got to get the job done.
Right.
We have God on our side because we're doing battle against the Nazis. So what do you do when you're the media or the French resistance and you like to lie? Well, first thing you need to do is you need to establish that someone's a Nazi in order to lie about them. Because I don't think anyone has any qualms about Marquis of Queensberry when it comes to fighting Hitler, the Nazis, or whoever throughout history. No problemo. Right? So you decide that Trump is a Nazi, and now you get to do whatever you want because you're fighting the Nazis. So you just go, the Nazi guy says MS-13, those guys are animals and shouldn't be left in the thing, and then you report that Donald Trump called immigrants animals. He called all immigrants animals. Now, obviously you're lying or you're just insanely incompetent as a news organization. Maybe you're good at putting, you know, inflating bouncy castles. But as a news organization, if you look at his press conference and some sheriff goes, what do you think of MS-13? And he says, they're animals. They should all be, you know, thrown out of the country. And your headline is Trump calls immigrants animals. Then you need to hang it up organization. But if Trump is Hitler, then you're within your rights. Your God has given you the power to do this because you're fighting Hitler.
But don't you believe that's what they all think they're doing?
Yes.
Yes. And
I would kind of argue, though, that that's not your job when you report news.
You're right. And
you're not allowed.
Somebody that didn't have a military coup and took over. It was someone who was elected by the people.
I would also argue that you have decided he's this so you can look. Here's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't get along with my neighbor. I don't like the guy. I'm jealous of him. I don't like what he stands for, whatever. So now that I don't like him, I can't go around accusing him of crimes he didn't do at the neighborhood watch meeting. But if I label him as a dangerous, homicidal, tyrannical, mad person, then when I go to the next neighborhood watch meeting, they're not going to listen.
Oh.
Or they might. I can't accuse him of that because he's a tyrannical madman. If I just go, he's my neighbor, and we just disagree on the height of the hedge, I can't really go do that at the neighborhood watch meeting.
Yeah.
If he's a tyrannical madman, then I should be doing that because I got to get him locked up.
Yeah,
because he's a tyrannical madman.
He's going to kill somebody.
I don't want him near my kids.
He's going to kill somebody.
Right.
In your mind.
Now I can do what I want.
Yeah.
But I would say it's a pretty slippery slope as a neighbor.
This MS-13 thing was the full display of fake news in as it's produced in real time. And now I have trouble believing almost anything I see in the news now. I mean, see the thing with the children in the cages that went around last week or so ago? There were children in cages, and they went, Donald Trump is keeping children in cages down on the border. Turned out it was Obama-era footage from when they had that flood of kids that came up and they didn't know what to do with them.
Right.
It had nothing to do with what's going on now.
Oh, somebody just told me that, like, Via Retardo gave a stupid tweet. And
here's the viral photo. Look at this.
Right. Right.
And again, real – it's fake news being produced as we speak.
Well, to me, the animals thing is as fake as it gets because – You're literally just saying I'm not able to interpret news. I mean, somebody has a press conference. They ask pretty clearly.
Well, it's because
who it is, and you do it that way.
People believe these crazy distortions about the world they're in. That's what they hear. They literally hear that.
Anyway,
it's like Yanni and Laurel.
I have no idea what's going on with Mueller.
Here's what you should hear: is purple. Quality of your sleep affects the quality of your life. If you're not constantly waking up tired, it's not you. If you are constantly waking up tired, it's not you, it's your mattress. Time to try Purple. It's a great mattress. They deliver it. We've got one now. I know your daughter's going to get one, Adam.
She is.
Smart. Purple Smart Comfort Grid. It's scientifically engineered to adapt to any body type or sleep position. Actively cradles your shoulder and hip. It's so nice. While supporting your back for a zero gravity feel. 100-night risk-free trial. If you are not fully satisfied, return your mattress for a free refund. Free shipping and returns. It shows up, you put it, roll it out, and that's all you got to do. Right now, our listeners get a free set and mattress cover with purchase. All you got to do is go to purple.com/ADS and get that 100-night risk-free trial. How could you go wrong with this? It's scientifically engineered. It adapts. It's supportive. It's so comfortable. And free shipping returns. You go to purple, just the color purple, purple.com/EDS. Free sheet set, mattress cover with purchase right now. Free, more free stuff for the code ADS.
All right. Saturday, Ladin Theater, this Saturday, Portland, second show. Tickets available for the second show. I'll be doing a live stand-up special there. We're filming it, so come be part of history, everybody. And you can pre-order Uppity. Very well received. Got a nice chassis offering there. That's CHASSY. And go to chassis.com. Check that out. Check out our friends over at Podcast and take the podcast1.com, my survey, or go to podcast1.com and click the survey banner and take the survey. Take a couple minutes, fill it out, let them know where you're coming from. It helps us. It'll do me and Dr. Drew a big old favor. Drew, what do you got?
Go to doctor.com. Look for me on Your Mom's House, also on the Ben Shapiro Sunday Show. I did a video with that. And it's an all-call show on Dr. Podcast.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew, say mahalo.